CH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. John Bolton's vehicles have arrived at federal court in Maryland one day after he was indicted on 18 counts of allegedly misappropriating classified information. ABC's Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas has more on the third indictment against one of President Trump's critics.
Bolton pushing back, declaring the indictment retribution and an abuse of power, writing, "These charges are not just about his focus on me or my diaries, but his intensive effort to intimidate his opponents to ensure that he alone determines what is said about his conduct."
Today, President Trump hosts Ukrainian President Zelensky at the White House one day after he spoke with Russia's Vladimir Putin for more than 2 hours and agreed to another summit. It's day 17 of the government shutdown. The Senate's gone for the weekend, which means the shutdown will last until at least Monday. And Meta, Facebook's parent company, is adding parental controls for kids' interactions with AI chatbots. This is ABC News.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents that the elk and pheasant hunting seasons will officially open on Saturday. According to a press release, 13 hunters were randomly selected from a pool of over 26,000 applicants to participate in this year's elk hunting season. The pheasant season will run through January 4th, and hunters will have a limit of one rooster per day this weekend and two roosters per day beginning on Monday. More information on the hunting seasons and regulations are available on the DNR website. A pair of Democratic state lawmakers have introduced new legislation seeking to create an alert system for missing individuals involved in domestic violence situations. The proposed bill would establish the Purple Alert system to ensure a fast, coordinated response to locate the missing individual. The program would be modeled after other systems like Amber and Silver Alerts, notifying law enforcement agencies from across the state. An alert would not be sent out if the individual disappeared intentionally to escape a domestic violence situation. Barron County residents are being invited to the second annual Patriot Palooza in Rice Lake this weekend to support area veterans. The event will take place on Saturday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the Moose Lodge in Rice Lake. Point of Renewal Integrated Health and Lake Roots Company will host the community fundraiser, which will feature things like a raffle, a silent auction, and a bake sale. All of the proceeds raised at the event will go towards supporting area veterans, and any veterans that attend the event will also get to eat for free. Northwood Technical College held a ribbon-cutting ceremony at its Superior campus on Wednesday to honor the opening of its new mobile dental lab. College officials say the new state-of-the-art facility is meant to help with student training across their four Northwest Wisconsin campuses. The project seeks to provide those students with hands-on experience and provide community members who don't have reliable access to dental care a place to find it. The mobile lab will stay on each campus for 2 years before moving to the next one. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
Last chance for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, where it's do or die for the Milwaukee Brewers in Game 4 tonight in L.A. against the Dodgers. Milwaukee losing again last night 3-1, now down 3-0. The Brewers only have 9 hits in this series so far. The last time that happened in the postseason was in 1906. First pitch tonight at Dodger Stadium, 7:38. NFL, the Packers head to Arizona tomorrow to play the Cardinals. Sunday, kickoff at 3:25. Packers defensive end Micah Parsons with some controversial statements, saying the NFL has a double standard for calling penalties to protect the players on offense and not on defense.
Who are we kidding? You want to fine guys for putting their head down, but you can be engaged with an offensive tackle and a guard can come put his head right into your head. And look how many times that's on film. Guys putting their head down and trying to come clean your clock. But you can't do that to offensive players. Get a $50,000 fine. I might get a fine for this conference.
That's Packers defensive end Micah Parsons with sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A mix of sun and clouds today, breezy and warm for mid-October with highs right around 70. Can't totally rule out a few showers in the afternoon. For tonight, partly cloudy skies, breezy, cooler with lows in the mid-40s. Plenty of sunshine on Saturday with highs in the mid-60s. Right now, it's 57.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Don't often agree with Marjorie Taylor Greene. They asked her about Congress being shut down and how it related to the Epstein files.
Why drag this out? That is going to have 218 signatures. I say go ahead and do it and get it over with.
Trig me?
She's not necessarily my cup of tea, but she reads tea leaves. I think her moving to where she's at says that when that vote happens, there are going to be a major dam break, and it's a problem.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app, Matt Nair on Air.
Hi, it's Jane Matt Nair.
Hi, it's Greg Bach.
I'm Calvin.
Join us weekdays 9 to 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network for Matt Nair on Air.
We cover all the news that directly affects us as Wisconsinites.
And we lighten things up in hour number two with a segment called Audio Sorbet, and this shouldn't be a thing. We hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the Brewers game from last night, as well as the weekend ahead with Peter Rapine. A week in review, a humorous edition from E-Bomb's World. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back. Nice to have you here up north at 8:06 on this Friday morning, October 17th. Parker Olson producing things down in Madison Studio A2. State Senator Jeff Smith is standing by for a conversation for this half hour. Then in our next half hour, we will be talking to Mike Clemens about the Brewers and now trying for the, just going for that little four-game sweep of the LA Dodgers if they still want to keep their World Series hopes alive. That's coming up at 8:35. Remember, you can sign up for our newsletters, including our Sunday morning newsletter with more of a politics bent to it, and it includes our question of the week. The question we asked last Sunday morning is, what are your thoughts on mining in Wisconsin's North Woods? You're against it entirely. You feel it can be done with very strong guardrails, you know, regulations, rules, or that you feel like we should just go ahead and, you know, the mining companies will police themselves because it's in their best interest to keep everything clean, right? Right? Anyway, as you can imagine, a lot of the responses chose A, don't want it, don't need it, we can live without it. But there were a smattering of responses of people that said, you know, you can come up with the right kind of, you know, guidelines and rules to have safe mining, then they would like to see it. So we've got to come up with a new question of the week, and it'll be in everybody's inbox Sunday morning, especially you, if you sign up over at upnorthnewswi.com. And of course, Civic Media has a new daily newsletter as well, filled with show highlights and plots of links, and you can get that over at Substack by going to civicmediatoday.substack.com. Again, civicmediatoday.substack.com. Time to bring in my friend Senator Jeff Smith here from the Chippewa Valley, who will be up for re-election in 2026, and so there have been developments on that front. Senator Smith, how are you?
Hey, how are you doing, Pat? Doing great. First, I want to start with what a great season the Brewers had and all the records, that positive things they did, and it's so sad to see that at these three games, they just set a record for the first three games with that hasn't been happened since 1906. Holy Moses. That's not the way I want to see him finish.
No, it said all these positive team records, and now they're setting a couple of team records they'd like to forget about. Fewest hits in a five-game span and others like that. And it's unfortunate. It can't take away from a great season, but the whole thing on the sweatshirt where it says built for fall, no. we were built for summer. We were built for the regular season, but
I've noticed that on every team has one of those sweatshirts, so it must have been a major league baseball thing to put those on there. But anyway, hey, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. It's intriguing to see how things are coming together. We're going to talk about the governor's race field here in just a bit, but as I explained to folks earlier, the way that things got set up when Wisconsin finally got fairer maps and got rid of the worst of the gerrymandering is we saw a lot of changes last year in the assembly elections, because the whole 99-member assembly is up for re-election every 2 years. But because of Senate four-year terms, only half the districts are up every 2 years. And the ones that were up last year, not a lot of them were made newly competitive, where there are some districts that were changed, and they will be up for election for the first time in 2026. That includes yours, including the fact that, you know, you as an incumbent Democrat and an incumbent Republican senator are going to wind up in the same district. And Republican Senator Jesse James announced that he is going to be going ahead and running for the seat that you're in right now. You've announced that you're already in right now. So I guess you won't be bored in 2026, right?
Well, here we go again, Pat. I never get easy.
You don't
run,
get the easy races. Okay. No, you don't.
I've been an advocate of what instead of fair, I use the word competitive. I think it's really important for democracy that all of our districts are competitive, and that's what we're seeing happen right now.
Well, I mean, it's competitive in that you've got these two incumbents who are involved, and, you know, Jesse James is, you know, no stranger to the legislature or to the Chippewa Valley, but, you know, he has a record, as do you as well. And you, because you have always been in a purple district, to put it mildly, you have been able to thread the needle of being competitive in a purple district while staying true to your own progressive values. Now that you have this newly drawn district, how does your job get a little easier or a little harder?
That's a really good question. It's always actually really fun and interesting to introduce yourself to new voters. Because I've had to do that a couple times during these last decade. But at the same time, I just want to point out that I like Jeff and Jesse's. We get along pretty good. But his announcement was homecoming. Well, Jesse never moved. He did mislead people and say, "Oh, I moved to Thorpe." Well, he never really moved to Thorpe. When we were knocking doors in Altoona, one of my staff members came across Jesse raking his yard in Altoona. So, I mean, Jesse never actually left. And another thing to point out that's interesting is that I did not vote for these maps. I voted no on these maps. I stuck to my guns here about how maps should not be decided by the legislature and chosen by the legislature. And I did not vote for these, but Jesse did. So no complaining. This from Jesse. I better not hear any complaining. This is the map he chose. So here we are.
Well, and here with a record. And when I think of the record in terms of representing, you know, Western Wisconsin, there's certainly a lot to be said for how things were handled, you know, on the matter of the hospitals closing and water contaminated with PFAS and all kinds of things. Yeah. And we can get into the local issues a little bit later on, but from a broader state perspective, what does it mean that now that you're going to these more competitive state Senate districts and you've got the governor's race up for grabs, how would you really kind of outline the stakes over the possibility of either a Democratic governor and a Democratic controlled legislature versus keeping a Republican-controlled legislature and then getting a Republican governor? What's at stake?
I think we're feeling really good about our chances. And going back to 2024, out of the 16 Senate races that were up, we didn't lose any Democrats, but we flipped 4 Republican seats out of 16. So we actually did pretty darn well, which moved us from a 22-11 minority to an 18-15 minority, which right now the Republicans obviously see the writing on the wall. Their backs up against the wall, and that is why actually instead of Jesse running for the seat that he already holds, the 23rd district, they have convinced him to run in my district to try to prevent us from getting to that majority, which we really are on the verge of getting, and we feel pretty confident about that as long as I hold this seat. So it has become like the linchpin right now is the 31st Senate District as to which way we go.
I spoke at length in the last hour about one of the parts of your record that you'll be running on, and that is, you know, how you feel things should be handled in the state budget. And Governor Evers put out a note yesterday about the ending surplus for this just completed fiscal year. at I believe it was $4.6 billion, higher than originally forecast. And, you know, that should have been a reason for bipartisan attaboys. And instead, I read a release from a Fond du Lac Republican Assembly rep who felt the need to, you know, tear into the governor and say, you didn't do this. It was our legislature that did it. To which, you know, my response was, give me a break. I mean, they had to be dragged kicking and screaming to support the people whose taxes fill those coffers by investing in education and roads and things like that. Do you feel like you'll have a compelling case to make to voters to how you would choose to engage in financial stewardship versus the Republicans?
Yeah, let's face it. It was still a Republican budget. Yes, I voted yes on that budget because we had a situation here where the hospitals closed and we had 40 some thousand people who had lost their access to the hospital system that they were used to. So we needed to get that $1 billion in that. Trump, by the way, and the Republicans in Washington were about ready to cut from us. So that was, even the Republicans here in this state realized they were in desperate need of passing a budget that did not lose that $1 billion. So that's where we were at. But they did not fund our schools sufficiently. They're still on this mission of breaking public education. So I repeat this statistic over and over and over. When this session ends, the Republicans will have held a majority in the legislature 30 out of 32 years. For them to even go after the governor, they are misleading people about how government works. The governor doesn't sign anything, can't pass anything. It's up to the legislature to send good bills and good funding to the governor for him to sign.
Well, and that's where we get to this notion of taking care of our homeless veterans and the facilities that had to close, including the one in Chippewa Falls, and this disingenuous attempt to somehow blame the governor for a line that they zeroed out in the budget. And I don't believe you have stopped yet trying to help lead your Republican colleagues into being a little bit more supportive, stop playing the blame game and find ways to get homeless veterans in the Chippewa Valley and elsewhere the services they need.
Yeah, now that the Republicans have removed the options for our homeless veterans from the Klein Hall in Chippewa County, which had the most beds, 48 beds, the 17 beds in Green Bay, we are now on the mission of reinstating and rebuilding that program. But it's really this baloney with them wearing, you know, red, white, and blue and draping themselves in the flag and talk about how they support veterans when, in fact, it's absolutely hogwash when they've done what they've done to our veterans with closing those facilities.
We're talking to State Senator Jeff Smith, who is going to be running for re-election next year in a very competitive district at a time when there's going to be a very competitive governor's race as well. Yesterday, we had Senator Kelda Royce on for a visit. Other, of course, candidates for governor have been coming through the area. Just give me your broad assessment of the field. Does it strike you like 2018, where you had a wealth of good potential choices out there? Do you feel like there's the possibility of a lot of backstabbing and things, or are Democrats looking at a healthy primary for governor next year?
I think what we have from our side we should be bragging about is we have experienced legislators, we have experienced progressive candidates who know government, know how to operate, know how government works. I can't say that on the Republican side. And you have Tom Tiffany, who's been in the legislature and in Congress, but Tom Tiffany has been an embarrassment in the legislature and in Congress.
Well, I mean, he's got the road to hoe that says, I've been in these, rock-ribbed Republican deep red districts for my state Senate career and my congressional career. And now he's got to run statewide, which is why you see him already trying to run away from his stance on abortion. So your point is extremely well taken. We're talking to State Senator Jeff Smith about the 2026 campaign cycle and his own particular race that's shaping up in the Chippewa Valley. And still to come, we will be talking to Mike Clemens. We'll talk about the Brewers losing that third game to the LA Dodgers. Game four is tonight. Pre-game starts at 7 o'clock on several stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Are National Guard troops generally trained in law enforcement? No. National Guard troops like those President Donald Trump deployed to American cities in recent months to crack down on crime are not generally trained in law enforcement. For example, police officers in Washington, D.C. receive 21 training modules in criminal procedure, but Guard members receive none. Their primary training is focused on crowd control. Milwaukee's police union president suggested troops should be sent to Wisconsin's largest city. Governor Tony Evers called National Guard troops the, quote, wrong people, unquote, for fighting crime. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
If you've ever found yourself driving down a quiet back road and thought, this feels special, you might be on one of our state's rustic roads.
The program was created by the legislature back in 1973. It's really a unique local-state partnership.
Officials wanted people by car, bike, motorcycle, or even on foot to enjoy the natural beauty. The first rustic road designated in Taylor County 50 years ago this month.
There's 124 roads that have been designated rustic roads in Wisconsin in 62 different counties, and it spans over 784 miles.
Each rustic road is unique, rolling past farmland through forests or covering rugged terrain. And the speed limit tops out at 45 miles an hour, sometimes even slower. It's not about getting anywhere fast. This slice of Wisconsin reveals sometimes the best part of the journey is the road itself. I'm Terry Baugh.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WBZH. I'm Mark Lundeen, and here's what's happening in Hayward today. With me in the studio today is Michael Pilhofer,
who is with the Park Center. And now this is a historic place. It's been going on since 1948. Now, Michael, you haven't been there that long, have you?
Yeah, I'm the newbie of the group. Okay. I'm their newest board member. Came on, I think it was about April of last year.
What has it been like for you, the experience of the artists you're bringing in, the audiences that come to hear and participate with the artists? What has this been an experience for you?
Yeah, I very new. I have to admit, I mean, Randy Widra, who's a wonderful bass player and also longtime board member, he's the one that sort of got me involved. And I didn't know anything about the park. Yeah. And I stepped in there with him. And once I started getting involved and once I started seeing the performances happen, and the audience is like, it sounds weird, but there's just something special about that place, the energy of the building. What happens when the community comes together and there's art on the stage? It's a magical little place. I'm sort of in the semi-retired part of my world now, and it feels like I'm in the perfect place at the perfect time, and I love being involved with the Park Center.
it's very different from a larger auditorium that you would have. This is a very small seat capacity.
About 250. Okay. Intimate. It's an intimate space. Yeah. Yep.
Because some of these bands and artists that you bring in, you could probably bring them to the Hayward High School and fill that out just fine.
Yep.
But no, we like them here in this smaller venue.
Yep.
Very quaint, very personable. I mean, the back row person can see the guy on the platform just as much as the front row person. Well, maybe not as much, but
right.
know, you don't need a camera and an IMAG screen to show who the artist is on this on the stage.
You have no jumbotrons needed for the Parks. and for a room that was not necessarily designed for audio or listening by any means, it's a surprisingly good sounding room. And I am just, the thing that I think really blew me away is the invested audience. Like, I am constantly surprised at how responsive and caring and thoughtful and engaged the audiences are. I mean, it is, you can like mouse squeak, you can't hear anything. They support the artists, the art, the like whether it's a, you know, a house of 50 or a sold out house of 250.
Yeah.
It feels like from a performing standpoint and from an environment standpoint that you're playing to an auditorium of thousands and you can't do wrong. And I just, there's just an energy about that place. I keep coming back to that. I just love it. And I love being a part of it.
Yeah. I've been there many times myself and it's a very unique facility. And again, the audiences and the artists that you bring in there, some are eclectic.
Yes.
And some are kind of mainstream.
Yep.
Some are from larger metropolitan areas, and some are right here in the back roads of Hayward.
You know, having now being involved in the programming side of things, I have tons of obvious connections out of the Twin Cities. So I'm bringing up, you know, groups of friends and different ensembles, and so many of my friends that have come up and played the park for the first time, they, from the moment the show starts, they can't stop talking about how special it is. They want to come back. They love it. It's again, I mean, even their experience, because I mean, I've played a million different rooms and, you know, a lot of times the music is the focus, but it's not necessarily, you know, the end all be all. There's conversations happening. There's food clinking or whatever. There's just some distractions.
Yeah.
But again, this is like, it's a listening room. It's you could drop a pin and it's, and the engagement level to me is the support that the audience gives and the feedback. And my goal has always been, once I got a handle and a hold of the programming side of things, I always said that no one's going to step on that stage that's not going to be world-class talent. And I feel like in the last year, we've started to really kind of regain a respect amongst the community that just knows, maybe if I don't even know who's playing, I just trust that it's going to be a great show.
Be good. Off the website, it says the Park Center is a vibrant nonprofit venue committed to enriching our community through artistic programs that include live music, poetry, comedy, movie screenings, art installations, and more. And that's really prevalent when I look at some of the things that have been scheduled, such as the Artist Showcase.
Yeah, I'm really proud of that.
That happens every so often throughout the year. And tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so that I'm pretty... We used to have a program called First Thursday, which I think goes way back to Molly Otis. Okay. And it was, again, it was it sounds exactly like it is a free performance that the park sort of offered to our community, our Northwoods community.
Yep.
And I think over time it kind of lost its way a little bit. So when I got involved, I was just disappointed because if you have artists on the stage, you want to have an audience to support the artist. And that just wasn't happening anymore.
Sure.
So in 2024, I was like, how can we think this a little differently? So I reimagined it as more of a variety show.
Yeah.
John Adler, John Settlemel, wonderful composer.
Yes.
He's a board member as well. I kind of wrangled him into being the MC. And
I'm sure you had to twist his arm really hard.
Because he's so uncomfortable talking in front of people. And then what the shows are is basically it features three artists, kind of local regional talent. Usually one is a non-musical act.
Okay.
And the two are usually either an ensemble and a solo or some difference. They're not like two bands.
Yeah.
And every group gets we have a typical intermission in the beginning and it's like two 45 minute sets and each group gets about 15 minutes and John does a little conversation.
Yeah.
It's just the fun. And it's 100% free. It's the way the park wants to kind of give back to our Northwoods community.
Yeah.
And we've had, we just had a show here not a couple weeks ago, and I think we had almost 200 people show.
Yeah.
It's gaining steam, and it's really just a treat to see that. And I feel like we've kind of reinvigorated, you know, what was the first Thursdays in their heyday into now being these quarterly artist showcases.
Yeah. Well, Michael, we're going to have you back for sure.
Thank you
for coming in.
Thank you so much.
You've been listening to WBZH Hayward Today, local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in the Hayward Lakes area, download the Civic Media app and click on WBZH in the station listings. Coming up after local news and information, Pat Kreitlow returns. I'm Mark Lundeen, and I'll be back with more Hayward information Monday morning. It's 8:29.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yankee here. You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is encouraging residents to attend one of around 50 educational events next week honoring International Bat Week. According to a press release, 4 of the 8 species of bat found in Wisconsin are considered threatened. DNR officials say conservation efforts over the past decade have helped the bat populations begin to rebound. Event locations and tips for helping the bat population from home, like building your own bat house or using native plants in your yard, are available on the DNR website. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has announced the state ended the 2025 fiscal year with a budget surplus well over expectations. According to a press release on Wednesday, the state ended the year with a positive balance in the general fund of about $4.6 billion. That mark is over $265 million higher than previously estimated. Governor Evers also announced that the state budget stabilization fund, essentially the state's rainy day fund, reached a record high of roughly $2 billion to end the 2025 fiscal year. The Lakeland Family Resource Center in Spooner recently held a ribbon-cutting ceremony to honor receiving accreditation as a Family Resource Center of Quality. The organization received the designation for demonstrating their ability to engage in robust professional development, including evidence-based programs in parenting support, resource coordination, and early childhood services. The facility is the 11th center in the state to receive the accreditation and must reapply for it every 3 years to ensure its policies and procedures are still effective. The Rice Lake Area School District is seeking community members who are interested in serving on the district's Wellness Committee. The committee is meant to ensure area students have access to nutritious meals and to promote more healthy eating habits to combat obesity. District officials say the work of the committee helps promote positive behaviors and helps their students reach their full academic potential. Area residents interested in serving on the Wellness Committee can contact the chair of the committee, Lori Johnson, by phone or by email. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The TV show Bosch has been off the air for a few years now. The show about an L.A. homicide detective played by Titus Welliver, who is not afraid to bend the rules, was followed by 3 seasons of Bosch Legacy. Earlier this year, there was another spinoff called Ballard that starred Maggie Q, and rumor has it there is a spinoff in the works for Jamie Hector, who played Bosch's partner on the original show, Jerry Edgar. The Bosch extended family is about to give birth again with a prequel series called Bosch Start of Watch. The show is in development with actor Cameron Monaghan in place as the younger Harry Bosch. Like its predecessors, the show will be set in Los Angeles, but in the year 1991, and focus on Bosch's character as an LAPD rookie. The show is currently in development at MGM+. The Bosch franchise is based on crime novels by Michael Connelly. Fun universe. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Start your day with me, Pam Yankee, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 96.9 WBZH.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A mix of sun and clouds today, breezy and warm for mid-October with highs right around 70. Can't totally rule out a few showers in the afternoon. For tonight, partly cloudy skies, breezy, cooler with lows in the mid-40s. Plenty of sunshine on Saturday with highs in the mid-60s. Right now, it's 57.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Conrad has restless leg syndrome, where it's hard to control your leg, and you got to be careful. There's a lot of expensive stuff around this studio. So, Con? What broke over there just now?
A couple speakers.
They just redid this studio. We'll be dealing with... Oh, my God.
Sorry.
This is a serious thing. All right, what are we going to do here?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, I'm joined by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. We review the week in the law, especially the federal court that just ruled that Trump can't fire thousands of federal workers. Who knew?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You ever just want to tell us what's on your mind? Just, you know, pick up the phone and shout something at us and then just hang up the phone and not have to listen back to us? You can actually do that through the Civic Media app. You can use the voice note feature to record us a little voice message. It doesn't have to be angry. It can be something really nice. And then we get to hear the note in your own words, maybe put it up on air as well. So again, look for that voice note feature on the Civic Media app. We are joined now by Mike Clemens, who's going to give us a preview of all the sports that's coming up this weekend, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we are going to start with what has really been ugly, and that would be the National League Championship Series. Brewers now down 3-0. We'll talk about what's surprising and what's not surprising about that with Mike Clemens. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Pat. Hey, guess what? Pitching is important in the postseason. How about that?
Have we ever talked about this
over the years?
We have, yes, I know. And boy, are we finding that out the hard way. And what really makes it tough, Mike, is that we beat them all six games in the regular season. If it had been any kind of anything but that, I think we might be looking at this differently. But we're like, wait a minute, how did we beat them 6 times and now this is happening? But, you know, it's time, it's injuries, it's a whole lot of things, isn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, and this young Brewers team is bringing up guys like Caleb Durbin and Isaac Collins. And so there was that 3-game stretch against the Dodgers, and now you're, so you've got the best record of baseball currently, and you're getting hot and better every day, and you've got this young team. But here comes the defending World Series champion, and you sweep them. But, you know, we knew that week. Like the guy that beat you last night, Tyler Glasnow, he was just coming off an injury back then. And they were missing some of their guys from their bullpen. And Mookie Betts was on his phone after, like, the Game 2 loss this summer at AmFam Field. And I'm over there in the visitor's clubhouse, and he's on the phone. And then the Dodger reporters are going up to him. And he goes, hey, just 1 second. And he's rolling his eyes. You know, it's his wife, contractor, you know, we're building an extension on the house. I mean, that's where these guys' heads were at. But the defending champions, this high-paid profile team, they got their guys back. They snuck into the wild card, and now they're on a roll. And so, you know, Blake Snell just blows you away at home in game one. Game two, Yamamoto, who only lasted an inning against you this summer. You know, I was at that game two this summer in Milwaukee. He pitches 9 complete innings. It'd been like 8 years since a guy did that in the postseason. And then last night, Tyler Glasnow. And so the Brewers, you know, they lose last night. 3-1. They're down 0-3. And then they had this stat on TBS after the game that I looked up. The Brewers only have 9 hits so far in the series. The last time a team performed that poorly at the plate was in 1906. The Chicago White Sox, they were going against the Cubs in the first Crosstown World Series. And actually, the White Sox won the series 4-2 because they were this outstanding defensive team that the newspapers back then called the Hitless Wonders. I mean, you know, so that's
well,
that's how much the Brewers' offense has been snuffed out this week by this extraordinary Dodger pitching. And tonight they got Shohei Ohtani to deal with.
Oh, Well, sure. Why not just, I mean, if you're going down, just go down with Ohtani on the mound too, if that's the way that things turn out to be. The other one, and again, some of these stats get really obscure, but it's this one I thought was still worth noting. You go back to game three of the division series. So in the past five games, the Brewers have just 18 hits. That's the fewest amount of hits in any five-game stretch in franchise history. There could not have been a worse time for the bats to go silent.
Right. And, you know, it's the same Brewers story. You know, remember the Brewers used to have sluggers, and then they would lose in these playoff series. And now they've got this team that's young and fast and steals bases, and they just get on, or they walk, et cetera. And then they, you know, they work the bases. And then, you know, a few miracles happen along the way. They've been very disciplined at the plate this year in winning the most games. But, you know, when I started out in this business, I got hired in August of 82 by the flagship TV station as a producer. And I got to cover that World Series. And with all those sluggers they had on the 82 team with Robert Yount, Gorman Thomas, and et cetera, they came up short in pitching. Remember Bud Selig said, if we had Raleigh Fingers, we could have done this. But the Cardinals had, was it Joaquin and Andujar?
Andujar,
he beat
them
twice. Yep. You know, mm-hmm. and I'm looking at Pete Ladd on the mound. I mean, come on. You know, it's just,
right?
You know, yeah. And so, again, the whole offseason will be, once again, the Brewers ownership needs to come up with the bankroll for the mound, for the pitching.
Yes.
And they were hoping that, you know, the wheels started coming off in September when they started losing those games. And then yes. Brandon Woodruff couldn't go, and that'd take them out of the rotation. So Mizorowski, you know, he did a nice job the other night. Not enough. That's not enough.
That's just it. I mean, it's great that he continues to find his footing, but it is kind of on-the-job training, and sometimes it works out really well for us. But, Mike, I've said repeatedly, I'm going to say it one last time because I probably only get to say it one more time. I very clearly remember the 2004 Red Sox being down 0-3 in the American League Championship Series and watching all four of those games, 4, 5, 6, and 7. And it's not that I was a Red Sox fan. I was a David Ortiz fan because he'd played for the Minnesota Twins for years before going to Boston.
Yep.
So, I mean, that was an incredible four-game stretch to watch. And so I know it hasn't happened before or since, but I got to hope. I got to put my hopes on something that it actually has been done at least once before.
And the last time the Red Sox won the World Series was 1918 before that,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's
the curse
it's,
of the Bambino and all that stuff. So game four is tonight, 7:38, a little bit of a different starting time tonight from Dodger Stadium. If a miracle happens, game five would be tomorrow night in L.A. Then they would come back for Monday and Tuesday night in Milwaukee if they could take it to a game seven. But the Brewers, their back is against the wall, and Murph won't announce until later this afternoon who's going to be his opener or starter tonight for the Dodgers.
All right. Again, 7 o'clock, the pregame begins on some of the Civic Media Radio Network stations. We've got college football as well with the Badgers taking on Ohio State. Again, coverage begins at 12:30 with the pregame for the game against Ohio State. The Badgers taking on the number one ranked team in the country. You know, it's not... Well, no, actually, this is a genuine question. Have ever, or how many times have, the Badger football team in their history ever knocked off the number one team in the nation?
I don't know.
I don't know that the number isn't zero. I'm just saying I haven't looked it up. And I have to admit, Mike and Parker gets a little frustrated with me here, but I keep telling everybody, this is the game you want to watch because if history is made, you're going to want to say that you got to see it. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but if ever there were a time to make history for Luke Fickle, it better be tomorrow.
Well, drive to Madison, and I'm sure you'll be able to find someone selling your tickets because this is not going to be good. This is not going to be good. I mean, CBS Sports this morning has got them, Ohio State Buckeyes, the undefeated 6-0 number one ranked team in the nation right now, as 26-point favorites over a Badgers team that, you know, a year ago, you remember how Iowa-Wisconsin games for the longest time since Kirk Ferentz has been over there? It's like 21-20 or less. Yeah. You know, they're tough physical games. And last year, the Badgers lost 42-10, and Fickle said, well, I'm going to turn this thing around. And last weekend, it was 37-0 in favor of Iowa. And, you know, the point is, where's the progress? Where's any kind of anything, any bright spot, anything in resembling identity as to where this Badgers football program is going, minus, you know, a quarterback getting hurt again? Where are you going? What have you got to hang on? And so you're going to, you lose this thing tomorrow, and maybe you're going to call a couple more to Oregon. What story do you have to show for recruiting next year? It's getting serious real quick there.
Yeah, it is. Parker actually has an answer to my little made up trivia question there. Parker, Badgers ever beat a number one?
Yeah, in 2010, famously, the Badgers ran that opening kickoff back for a touchdown. And I think they all, oh, that was against Ohio State, by the way. So maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
So there you go. Again, you got to pick. Yeah. I thought the Badgers in 2010 were as in dire straits as the 2025 Badgers. But again, we'll see. 12:30 for the pregame, 2:30 for the kickoff. The Packers, meanwhile, head to Arizona. You're going to be heading there as well for that game against the Cardinals.
Yeah. Now, the Cardinals, you know, they've struggled. And Kyler Murray, their scrambling quarterback, got injured a couple weeks ago. Marvin Harrison Jr., their standout wide receiver, missed last week. They're questionable going into this game this weekend. And they've lost four in a row, but like by a total like 9 points, like LaFleur said the other day. They've got a pretty good defense. One guy to look for is Josh Sweat, linebacker. He'll line up usually over your left tackle. This is a guy who was on that Eagles team that just rolled over the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. This guy had like sacked, you know, Patrick Mahomes like three times in that game and had six tackles. Left in free agency, signed by the Cardinals for a 4-year deal worth $74 million, I think. So I was talking to Elton Jenkins, the Packers center, about that, and he said, yeah, sometimes he'll line up with his hand in the dirt, sometimes he'll be standing out there and roaming around. So that's somebody that Jordan Love and the offensive line have to keep their eye open. Packers beating the Bengals last week, but, you know, the Bengals team that they beat, Joe Flacco gets there on Tuesday. He's got 4 days to prepare. And then Jamar Chase, his number one receiver, he gets the flu. And after the game, Jamar Chase, I went over to the visitor's locker room, and he said, yeah, I had like 12 reps with this new quarterback. I mean, you know, they got to know each other literally during the pregame. They were drawing up plays in the first half in the dirt, just about. And they scored 18 points in the second half. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's kind of a warning light. By the way, the Bengals beat the Steelers last night, 4 days later.
I saw that. Flacco beating Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. So now Aaron Rodgers, now he gets, you know, a bye this weekend, and then they'll be waiting in Pittsburgh for next Sunday night. We'll be there to cover that one, too, Steelers and the Packers. Ooh. But, you know, and what were the Browns thinking, getting rid of Joe Flacco?
I still don't get that. Yeah, that one makes
no
sense.
Yeah, so the leadership and the experience and everything. So, the Packers, they're looking at themselves in terms of what they need to do to beat a team that's desperate for a win, because the Cardinals have lost four in a row, and who's going to be out there for them on Sunday? Oh, it was funny. Elton Jenkins got mic'd up in that game against the Bengals last Sunday. And during a timeout, he yells over to T.J. Slayton, who now plays for the Bengals. He left the Packers in free agency. He's a defensive lineman. He said, T.J., what are you guys running next? What are you, nickel, dime? What are you gonna be in? And I interviewed Elton. I said, did you get an answer? No, no. I said, well, that's kind of rude. You know, try to help a brother out, right?
So, I like that. I like when they're mic'd up. That's fun. And then finally, we've got the NBA season is getting set to get going. The Bucks wrapping up preseason.
Yeah, the Bucks wrapped up their preseason with a record of 3-1. They lost to the Thunder the other night, and Doc Rivers says got to work on being sharper on defense. And Bobby Portis, you know, their veteran, said, yeah, and also we got 5 days now left to get ready, because next week, Wednesday, they host the Washington Wizards, and then it's like bang, 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 10, 11 games after that. They don't want to get off to the bad start that they had last season, so time now to get in shape. And then Giannis, you know, the stories from ESPN about that, you know, though he's,
yeah.
I mean, you know, where John Horst, the GM, had to fly to Greece this summer in August to work out a deal. They signed Alex Antetokounmpo, another another brother of Giannis to the roster yesterday.
Hey, whatever it takes. Mike Clemens, travel safe. Enjoy Arizona. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Pat.
All right, we'll see ya. All right, we will wrap things up here. Some final news and notes from Lake Wissota coming up on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. North Carolina already has an F grade from the Princeton Gerrymandering Project for having extremely uncompetitive voting districts. Nonetheless, its state House Speaker announced October 13th the legislature would gerrymander another GOP congressional seat before the 2026 midterms. It's the latest GOP attempt to cling to power in the U.S. House. In a social media post, North Carolina House Speaker Destin Hall said, "We will stand with the president, defend the GOP majority, and secure an additional Republican House seat," unquote, after an agreement was reached between House and Senate leadership, according to North Carolina Newsline. The state has a Democratic governor, and Trump won North Carolina over Harris by a narrow margin, 50.9% to 47.6%. Yet, currently, the GOP holds 10 of 14 of North Carolina's U.S. House seats. But Speaker Hall noted in his post, quote, "POTUS's victory sent a clear message. The voters are with him. GOP efforts in Texas, Missouri, and Utah have been challenged in the courts, but the GOP holds a 5-2 majority in the North Carolina Supreme Court, and its decisions have favored the legislature in recent years. The U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that federal courts have no role in partisan gerrymandering disputes. Action on a new congressional district map will begin the week of October 20th. We have local reporting linked at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right, one more time. Brewers taking on the Dodgers tonight. I hope it's not one more time. I mean, one more time we announce it on this show. I hope there's a game tomorrow and Monday and Tuesday. We'll see, but we got to get through tonight. Pre-game starts at 7 o'clock. First pitch, 7:38 on several stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. Head to civicmedia.us to learn more. Badger pregame coverage begins at 12:30 tomorrow. Packers pregame coverage begins at 1 o'clock on Sunday. And Parker has been doing extensive research on the Badger football team and its record against number ones. A fellow by the name of Chad Holmes tells us on YouTube the Badgers beat the top-ranked Michigan Wolverines in 1981, and they beat number one-ranked Northwestern in 1962. Does that check out with your research as well?
That checks with what I found, yes. I only remember one of these happening, believe it or not.
Well, as well you should. If you remembered the others, that would be, you know, in the idea of the paranormal.
Proof of reincarnation. There you go.
Yes. Proof. let's try to avoid dealing with the dark arts at this early hour of the day and reincarnation and things like that. Let's see. Next week on the program, we're going to have author Laura Bird on, and we're going to be talking all about book shows. There are some book shows that are coming up that she's going to talk about and exactly what a book show is, which is kind of an important thing to know if you're going to go to one of these things. Are they books that are singing and dancing, or, you know, what exactly happens at these things? Do you have to wear costumes, for example?
You know, I'm not familiar with book shows, but I would not have guessed that they were dancing, Pat.
I hear show and I think show tunes. It could have been any of these things. So we don't know. We'll have Bill Hegseth on as well from the group Grow, which is a Western Wisconsin organizing group that does a lot of canvassing to talk to people about the issues that are out there, what they need to know, and what politicians could be learning if they would hear more from the people whose doors that they knock on. And, of course, we've got Hans Breitenmoser talking about farming issues and bringing along a guest, Steve Bow, who will be joining us as well. For this weekend, I sense I would like to be picking up some leaves. I don't want to pick up leaves. I would like to be mowing some leaves, but they're going to have to dry out first after the rain here. So we'll see if that becomes the plan. I don't know. You do not have raking leaves in your plan for this weekend, I don't believe.
I do not, mainly because our massive tree got taken down earlier this summer.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So, yeah, I could see where that would be. That would be an issue for you. What will you be doing? Is Whitewater playing football? I haven't looked at the WIAC football schedule here.
Whitewater actually plays tonight against Stout. Friday night lights game in Whitewater, so I'll be heading down there this evening. What else do I have? I'm covering. You can check out civicmedia.us on, I assume, Saturday, but definitely later on in the weekend. We'll have statewide coverage of the No Kings protests. I will be covering what's going on in Madison, and I know that we've got folks all around the state covering a good number of those many, 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 many protests, Pat.
Many. Would you like me to read them all again? I've got them all right here in front of me.
Go for it. I'll record it this time, and we can play it back on Monday.
I enjoyed doing that because it harkened back to the olden times when you didn't have internet, and to find out if your school was closed during a snowstorm, you had to sit there and listen for a guy, you know, reading on the radio, all of the schools, and you're waiting and you're hoping it's alphabetical, but sometimes it's not. And then you finally hear that guy or that girl say your name, and you're like, yes, you get to stay home. You had to only get that through the guy on the radio. Then eventually TV started with their crawls.
I was going to say, I remember it on TV.
Really making myself sound old at this point. Now it's just like everybody gets a text message.
Yeah, we got calls. Yeah.
Yep. So instead, the only way you could find out about all the No Kings rallies around Wisconsin was to hear me go through the whole list. No, wait, there's a website, nokings.org, where you can get that. And by the way, if you're going to one of these things as a participant, keep in mind, as we discussed yesterday with Cindy Greening, there may be, you know, hecklers, there may be counter protesters, whatever the case may be. Don't take the bait. You're there for what you want to do. Do what it is you want to do. Give the message that you want to give. Mostly it's about numbers, about just understanding that you are not alone out there, that there are lots of friends and neighbors who feel as you do, and that you just want to express that in a way that is, you know, that is nonviolent, that is community focused. And you certainly don't want to give any ammunition to the people that go, oh, you're part of Antifa and you get your George Soros paychecks and you're part of Hamas or whatever. Let them wallow in their own fantasies elsewhere. There's no need to feed the trolls on there. So also in the WIAC football schedule, so you mentioned Stout at Whitewater, and then tomorrow's games are River Falls at Stevens Point, La Crosse is at Platteville, and Eau Claire is at Oshkosh.
La Crosse and Platteville is the only game worth watching of those three on Saturday.
Really?
Yes. Okay.
So I feel like we need a special WIAC football segment out of you.
Well, we do have. On Make the Call, which airs at 7 a.m. on Saturdays. Make the Call, we have a good little segment with Jimmy Cuska and I talking about WIAC football and other WIAC sports.
Why have you not talked about this before on this program?
I told you that I was going on Nightlight to talk about it.
All right. Well,
didn't take the bait.
Marketing, buddy. It's all marketing. All right. I want a detailed breakdown of next week's show beforehand, so we can tell the listeners all about it.
Do you know that I write predictions for every single WIAC football game too?
No, okay. I don't. Look at these things I learned.
Check out Warhawk.
I've got stuff to learn. Bring up the closing credits music here. It is time to bring a wrap to the work week on this fine program. There it is. If it sounds a little 70s-ish, there's a reason. It's actually from 1978. I, for no particular reason, was thinking of one of my favorite radio shows growing up. And so in honor of the Cannon Mess, we bring up this little ditty to tell you that the producer of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News, is Parker Olson. The executive producer is Luke Mathers. We feel him watching us, even when he's nowhere near Madison at this point. He's always watching. The consulting producer is Greg Bach, who I hope does not burn his Brewers jersey after this weekend. Take heart, my man. There's always next year. The medical consultant for this program, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, we hope that she is enjoying another margarita from where she is on her off weekend. Thanks to this week's guests that include Senator Kelda Royce, Senator Chris Larson, Representative Jody Emerson, Superior Mayor Jim Payne, and many more. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Enjoy a wonderful weekend. We will see you back here bright and early Monday morning, 6 a.m. here up north.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton's in a federal courthouse in Maryland. He was indicted Thursday on 18 felony counts for allegedly mishandling classified information. He called the indictment nothing but retribution and part of President Trump's campaign to intimidate his opponents. ABC's Pierre Thomas says
Bolton and his attorneys claim no crime has been committed, but Bolton is under serious legal threat. Each of those 18 counts carries a maximum penalty of 10 years in jail.
Today, President Trump meets with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky at the White House. On Thursday, he spoke with Russia's Vladimir Putin for more than 2 hours and agreed to another meeting that's expected to come in Turkey. Hundreds of people have been airlifted out of rural Alaska villages that have been devastated by flooding that's killed one person and left two others unaccounted for. And Ford's recalling over 290,000 vehicles because of rear-view camera system problems. This is ABC News.